Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life. So it's very hard to introduce this story, so I'm just going to tell you. And this starts on the morning of May 3rd, 2002. And 7-year-old Alexis Patterson, she's also known as Lexi Empire, was walked at 8 a.m. to Highmount Boulevard School on 491 Miss Garfield Avenue in Milwaukee by her stepfather, Laurent Bourgeois. And the school is half a block away from her home. Alexis lives with her mother, Ayana Patterson, her stepfather, Laurent Bourgeois, and her 6-month-old sister, Dysoni. Her father is Kenya Campbell, her biological father. So 2 weeks before Alexis went missing, parents at Highmount Boulevard School had received letters warning them of a man who tried to abduct a little boy near the school. And a week later, a teacher spotted Alexis talking to an unknown woman at the back of the school. And despite being lectured by her mother, she was speaking to the same woman 2 days later, which worried her mother, obviously. So on May 2nd, 2002, Alexis and her mother got into an argument because she failed to properly complete her homework, which was due the next day. And as a result, she was told she wouldn't be allowed to bring in the cupcakes her mum and Alexi bought at the shop for her classmates, which upset her, as May 3rd was her day to bring in a snack for her class. So she was still crying as she joined her fellow students on the playground on May 3rd and before and after school. But strangely, not one of her classmates or teachers remember her turning up to class. Laurent, her stepfather, left her at the corner to cross the street to the school in the morning of May 3rd. And Alexis' parents were notified of her absence until after classes had been dismissed for the day, because the school Alexis attended had a policy of only calling parents if a student was absent for 2 days in a row. So when she failed to come home at a normal time, the parents weren't overly concerned. They assumed she was still angry about the cupcakes and was simply delaying her return home. After waiting more than an hour for Alexis to walk in the door, Ayana called the school to see if she was still there. And she was shocked to learn her daughter had been marked absent that day. So immediately after about 3 p.m., shortly after learning of her daughter's absence, Ayana contacted local police, and it took them approximately an hour to respond. And they did arrive at the family home and believed that she had planned to skip school because she was angry and upset. That's what they believed initially. So police interviewed Alexis's classmates and neighbours Saturday and searched yards, parks, but they found no sign of the girl. Relatives distributed flyers with Alexis's picture. The area around Highmount Boulevard School, as well as vacant residents, were searched. Divers searched the depths of a nearby lagoon, and this part of the investigation involved the use of boats, motorcycles, helicopters, horseback, hundreds of citizen volunteers lending their time to search alleyways and other nearby parks. And in January 2002, Alexis's father, Kenya, was charged with misdemeanor battery and misdemeanor bail jumping, charges that would later be dismissed in May of that year. So just 2 months later, he was charged with repeatedly driving with a revoked license and was imprisoned. So on May 1st, 2002, the city of Milwaukee filed a civil suit against him, seeking $7,500 in damages for what they said was negligent operation of a motor vehicle. So this whole thing explains why he only learned of his daughter's disappearance via local news coverage. So on May 6, 2002, he was released from prison, questioned by police, who say he has been fully cooperative with the investigation. So Ayana and Laurent were also brought in for questioning, with Laurent of specific interest due to his criminal past. In 1994, he'd been involved in a bank robbery that resulted in the fatal shooting of a police officer in Glendale, Wisconsin. And for his testimony, he'd been granted immunity in relation to this case. So both parents, Ayana and Laurent, maintained their innocence. And on Tuesday, they underwent an intense 10-hour interrogation. Laurent criticized detectives for focusing more on them than finding Alexis. And detectives responded by giving polygraph examinations of both of them. Ayana passed hers without any problems, but Laurent was determined to be deceptive when asked if he knew the whereabouts of Alexis. And he continued to maintain that he had no idea what happened to her after he left her with the crossing guard the morning that she went to school, and detectives eventually let him leave. Several students at Highmount Community School told police they'd seen a red SUV with dark tinted windows idling in the area around the school several times the previous week, including on the day Alexis disappeared. And none of the students recognised it as belonging to anyone at the school, and it hadn't been seen since Alexis went missing. Police made a note of the sighting, but never able to positively link the SUV to Alexis. And the television show America's Most Wanted profiled the disappearance of Alexis on May 11, 2002, but no leads came from this. On May 14, 2002, investigators announced that Alexis' disappearance was a result of suspicious circumstances and had been reclassified as a criminal investigation. Months later, they would state they believed foul play to have been involved. 22-year-old Brian Werner distributed offensive flyers, asked why the white community should care that a black child was missing, and he wasn't arrested for this. So on June 3rd, about 75 people came together to hold a candlelight vigil for the one-month anniversary of Alexis's disappearance. On June 5th, 14-year-old Elizabeth Smart was abducted from her home in Utah, and her abduction immediately made front page news across the country. Every national newscast sent reporters to Utah and provided constant coverage of the case. And this is in stark contrast to Alexis's case, which had failed to receive any national news attention except for a brief mention on one America's Most Wanted episode. So the differences between the way the cases were covered soon became the subject of a national debate on race. And ironically, the uproar created by the disparity between the two cases got far more coverage than Alexis's actual disappearance. So in August 2002, an anonymous caller contacted local television stations to state that the missing girl's remains had been disposed of in the Milwaukee River near Estabrook Park, and police divers searched the river, but nothing was found. Shortly before May 2003, Laurent was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct while armed and battery after he threatened Iona with a knife and told her he would kill her. She told police he had beaten her in a jealous rage after she received a page from an unknown number. He was eventually convicted and Iona filed for divorce. A convicted prisoner claimed that Alexis had been killed and buried outside of Baton Rouge city limits. Three detectives flew to Louisiana to investigate, and they found nothing. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released an age progression photos of Alexis in 2009, which showed what she could have looked like at 14 years old. Another one would be released in 2013, showing what she'd look at the age of 17. And as of 2009, the case has been assigned to the Milwaukee Police Department's cold case unit. There are currently no suspects. And in December 2013, Kenya was charged with beating his 8-month-old daughter. He was charged with 3 counts of felony child abuse and 1 count of child neglect. According to Kenya, he'd woken up his mother around 5 a.m. on November 22nd, 2013, and told her that the baby had fallen off the couch. While she had gotten a split as a result of the fall, she was otherwise fine. And he left for work, leaving the mother to care for the infant. However, she had more than a split lip. So seeing how injured she really was, Kenya's mother brought her to the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, where a CT scan and physical examination were conducted. And it was determined she had suffered abusive head trauma, a broken jaw, a fractured rib, a lacerated liver, adrenal hemorrhage, and bruises to her face, abdomen, and chest. And according to the doctor, the trauma was consistent with severe child abuse, and police were dispatched. When questioned, Kenya's mother initially said that the baby had been sleeping on her back in the living room before falling off the couch after Kenya had already left for work at 5 a.m. She had entered the room after hearing crying, where she found the infant bleeding from her mouth and with her left eye deviated as if she were having a seizure. And the story was eventually changed to say that Kenya had woken up to report the fall. So changing and several inconsistencies. So he also told police he returned home with his daughter around 3 p.m. on November 21st, 2013 with no signs of injury, after which he was her sole caretaker until 5 p.m. Upon him leaving for work the next morning, she had been asleep on the couch and his mother had tried to call him at 7 a.m. but he didn't answer. However, this call has never been proven and Kenya deleted the call history on his cell phone. Kenya pleaded not guilty to all 4 charges against him. So that is Alexis's biological father. In 2016, a man in Ohio called detectives and insisted that his ex-wife was actually Alexis. The woman had no recollection of her childhood. She looked really similar to the age progression photo of Alexis. She even had the same lump on her pinky finger that Alexis had, and the woman thought the idea was ludicrous. She didn't remember her childhood, but she was certain she didn't live in California ever, and she was 7 years older than Alexis. And still, she submitted to a DNA test anyway, and it was determined she definitely wasn't Alexis. And it was a letdown for Ayana, who tried not to get her hopes up, but had been convinced when she saw a picture of the woman that she really was her daughter. So despite this, Ayana is of the belief that this woman is her missing daughter, and she says that the two have the same mole above their left eye toward her nose, which is a common trait, again, amongst those in the immediate family. She also has the same birthmark and a scar under her right eye, both of which Alexis had as well. 15 years later, her mother, Ayana, maintains that she is alive. She said, "I've never doubted in my mind Alexis is coming home." And Iona and Laurent continued to stay in touch as they did share another child, and he remarried a woman called Michelle. On January 20th, 2021, Laurent was found dead in his home of a suspected drug overdose with his wife Michelle, who was also dead. The couple had a history of drug abuse. Officers found drug evidence in the home, including a white powder substance in a glass pipe. The case remains under investigation. According to the Milwaukee police, Laurent most recently spent 4.5 years in state prison after pleading guilty to felony heroin dealing charges in 2009. And Detective Timothy Keller said,
You know, Laurent played a significant part of the initial investigation because he was the last person that was with Alexis. And we had nothing to say he was lying to us or not providing all the information that he had. So we really don't know what kind of an impact this death would have on this. However, detectives eventually decided that he was telling them the truth about the morning Alexis disappeared and he was not a suspect in her disappearance. Investigation in her daughter's disappearance could have been done better. So what are your thoughts? I would like to quote the sources I use, which is archive.jsonline.com, fox6now.com, tmj4.com, medium.com, an article by Jen Baxter, and Stories of the Unsolved.
Get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode will be on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Black British Girl Talks. And as always, if you have any questions, DM on Instagram. Until next time, goodbye.